This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
More profoundly, gives us the ability, gives us the opportunity to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way that maybe throughout the year we failed to do so or we found difficult to achieve. And it brings with it His forgiveness, it brings with it His compassion. It brings with it His freedom of punishment, subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu grant us all of that. And tonight, inshallah ta'ala, the recitation will be quite short. We start from surah, it's actually wrong up there, it's not Tariq. We're going to start from surah Al-Fajr. I forgot to change it, but that's okay. Everyone knows these surahs, hopefully, at the end, so they're not needing the slides to keep track of things. We'll recite, we'll pray 8 rak'at and then 3 witr. And we'll have the khatim within rak'at al-witr as we usually have dua almost every night. So I won't change anything up to make it confusing or anything. We'll keep it nice and simple. I'll pray rak'at al-witr and the final rak'at of witr, I'll recite the last 3 surahs of the Quran. And then we'll make ruku'ah, we'll come up and then we'll make the dua of al-khatim so that people aren't confused. There's different ways to do khatim. You can do it outside of witr, you can do it in dua before ruku'ah. So you can conclude the recitation of the Qur'an and immediately begin to make dua. But usually when I tried that in the past in different places, whenever you were finished your dua, you said Allahu Akbar, everyone went down to sujood. No matter how many times I explained that it's going to be ruku'ah next, they still went down to sujood. So it was, it defeated the purpose. So I put it in with it just to make it a little bit easier for everyone, inshallah ta'ala. This is the second khatim of the night, the day. The first khatim was after Asr with Sheikh Ra'id and his group. And it was a blessing to attend that one. And then we're going to have this khatim during Taraweeh. And then later on in Tahajjud, we're going to have a third khatim. The khatimah that began in the middle of Ramadan, Sheikh Ma'an and his group began this around 2 o'clock every night. So tonight we'll have it. I'll tell you the timings, inshallah, after Isha. There's a specific timing for tonight. It's a little bit different than the previous nights. Anytime. All right. The recitation tonight is going to have a very small portion of the Quran, but I will share with you the themes of what we have left, and we'll talk maybe about one or two verses, inshallah, prior to Salat al-Isha. Juz' Amma is divided into 4 groups of surahs. Juz' Amma is what most children memorize most people memorize when they're children. Most human beings know, inshallah. If you don't, you should try and work your way through Juz' Amma well. And then if you want to be ambitious, make sure you get the Mufassal from Qaf to a Nas. But Juz' Amma has 4 groups. The first group consists of the first 3 surahs. There's no hope. In the first group of surahs from An-Naba to Abasa, the first 3, they just talk about the 3 components of faith, which is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, what you need to achieve your goal, and what your standard of ethics are. And that's An-Naba, Nazi'at, and Abasa. The second group of surahs, which I find to be extremely important, and I think every person should take some time in their lives and not only memorize them, but recite them with some degree of contemplation and reflection, is from At-Takwir to Al-Buruj. And it talks about choice or freedom of free choice. And it looks at this at this topic that's very important for us as human beings from the aspect that our sanctity, our freedom, our choices are sacred. Like the freedom of your choice is something that is granted by God Himself. No one has the right to take it away from you. It was given to you by Allah. But it's also recorded. It's also going to be, you're going to be held accountable for it. There's going to be consequences to it. The margin of choice in Surah Al-Shiqaq is very, very narrow, so you have to choose wisely. And if you choose to do nothing in your life, that's also a choice that you'll be held accountable for. And I find that, there's wisdom in why, the children start with the last juz'. Because if you actually to actually learn the last juz and understand it, then they walk away with a lot of clarity on what their deen is about and who they are as people. Even though they may not have a lot of fiqh, but they have a lot of values and a lot of principles. The third group of surahs, from At-Tariq to Al-Layl, these are Islamic tools. What is it that you need? You need, in order for you to deal with life, you need a couple of things. It's a toolkit that you can, you know, pull something out of and use when you're going through the difficulties or the ups and downs of life. So At-Tariq talks about tawakkul. Ala talks about tasbih. Al-Ghashiyah talks about perseverance or mujahada, striving. So Al-Fajr talks about a proper understanding of things. We'll start with this today. Proper understanding. You have to be able to understand. You have to have the right lens through which you can see what's going on and understand what it is that you're seeing. If you see every good thing that happens to you as a sign that God is happy with you or satisfied, and you see everything that goes wrong with your life as a sign of God's wrath, then you didn't understand. It's all just a test. And you choose how you want to respond, and then when you respond, whatever happened to you will turn into a blessing or a punishment. So you have to have the proper understanding, or else you will live a life where you're delusional. You think things are happening in a certain way, but they're not. So Al-Balad talks about consistency. Consistency of ethics, consistency of values. You have to have that consistency. You can't have an ethic or a value that is selective. You use it when you want, and then you hold it back when you want. Or you treat certain people in certain ways and others in a different way. No. You have to be consistent, especially when things are hard. Especially when you're not in your best moment. It's at your darkest moment that you're granted the opportunity to show who you are and to allow your true colors to actually shine. So be careful when you're at that, you know, at the pit. When your graph has plummeted and you're at the lowest point you've been at, be careful of how you behave and what you say and how you think, because that's where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's where you're being washed with a magnifying glass. Because that's how you prove your consistency. Same thing when you're on the top of the hill. You're on top of the hill, the same thing. Magnifying glass gets a little bit more fine-tuned to see, are you consistent? Because when we're all somewhere around the neutrality, it's easy to kind of be who we are and maybe hold on to some of our values. It's when the graph goes up or goes down, then we have to kind of... And that's what Surah Al-Baqarah talks about. Surah Al-Shams talks about tazkiyah, the concept of purifying oneself and being self-aware and being self-accountable. And Surah Al-Layl talks about taqwa. And these are the toolkits. This is the toolkit that you have as a Muslim. These are the tools that you're going to use to deal with life. Tawakkul and tasbih and mujahada and fahm and consistency and tazkiyah and taqwa. This is what you have. This toolkit is the most valuable thing that you'll ever acquire. You'll never buy anything that's more valuable than having these concepts. Unfortunately, for the most part, we don't fully understand what these words mean. Like, we'll say the word tawakkul, we use the word taqwa, we'll point out the word tazkiyah, but we don't really understand what it's referring to. And we don't. In order for you to actually practice these things, you have to engage in a lifelong journey of education. You have to spend your... It's way too loud. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakumullah khair. Jazakumullah khair. He's like, Allah, it's okay, sit down. He's like, Allah, it's okay. Astaghfirullah, he's like, Sheikh, I better say, Hayakal. So, he's like, Allah. Astaghfirullah. Jazakallah khairan. It's very kind of you. May Allah bless you, inshallah. May Allah bless you, and jazakallah khair. I am not even remotely close to what you are saying, but jazakallah khairan. Thank you. The final cluster of surahs from Al-Duha to An-Nas, they're like pills, wallahi. They're like medicine. Each surah is really small. It's very short. It's a couple of words. But it's so concentrated in terms of what it's teaching you. It's like you're taking a pill. It's like you're taking just this very concentrated dose of knowledge and of connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is why they're a surah. I mean, you can argue that, how do you compare Al-Baqarah to Al-Asr, for example? I mean, Al-Baqarah is what? How many, if you think about it, it's a 50 times 3, like 150 surah Al-Asr. Like, it's 150 times bigger than it. Yet, they're both considered a unit. They're both considered a surah on their own, right? And the reason that that's the case is because Surah Al-Baqarah has a lot of knowledge in it, but it's why Surah Al-Asr is really concentrated. Like the profoundness of its teaching is similar to what Surah Al-Baqarah has within it. It's similar, even though the difference in terms of the number of words and the ongoing explanation, but they're similar. And that's why we always get kids to memorize these small ones, these short ones. Because in case you don't end up having the whole Qur'an, if you have these ones that have all the concentrated pieces of information, you have access to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's divine wisdom. And that's what Surah from Duha to An-Nas is. It's called Qisar al-Mufassal, the short and comprehensive. That's what it's called. And everything in these surahs are just all the Islamic values, just one after the other. Each surah is just a very concentrated dose of a value that you should be carrying as a Muslim. And I always tell people that take time in your life to go through what these surahs teach so that you can pass it down to your children as they age. So you can explain it to them when they memorize Surah Al-Kawthar, what it means, how to deal with when you're being mistreated or bullied or mocked or ridiculed. What do? You read Surah Al-Kawthar, you learn what to do. When you're going through a difficult time, you take Surah Al-Duha. Yeah? When you want to know what it means to be a good person, you study Surah Al-Ma'un. When you want to know what your role is, you study Surah Al-Fil, on and on. You take these surahs, and I've done them a couple of times. Sheikh Mustafa has run like a course, an IDA course. This is the third time around that he's run just in Tafsir, just Amma. The goal was to maybe the students who take it on, they can learn the actual meaning of this surah, so they can enjoy it. So that when you recite Al-Kawthar and Al-Asr every rak'ah, you get ajr, inshallah, because you know what they mean. You know what they're teaching you. And you're reflecting a little bit on those teachings, on those learning points. And that's very valuable. And there's nothing wrong with reading the same surahs. If you do it just because you're lazy, then that's one thing. But if you do it and you understand what it said and you enjoy the meanings that are being shared, then there's ajal in that even if you only recite the same surah. There's a man by the Sahabi by the name of Muawiyah ibn Muawiyah. And he was caught once reciting, and he praying a fard, and in both raka'at he recited al-ikhlas. And then he did it again, and he did it again, so they took him to the Prophet and said, this guy, all he does is qul Allahu ahad, yani. It says both, it's not like every salah, it's like in both raka'at, yani, the first raka'at and the second. So he asked him, يعني, أَلَا تَحْفَظُ غَيْرَهَا? Do you not know يعني, another surah? قَالَ بَلَا وَلَكِنِّي أُحِبُّهَا فَفِيهَا صِفَةُ الرَّحْمَنِ. But I love it because it has a description of the Rahman. فَقَالَ هَنِيئًا لَكَ. Enjoy. If that's why, then go ahead and enjoy. يعني, I hope that's why we do what we do, but that's why he did it anyways. So, what I'm going to do is we're going to choose a few of the ayat. Oh, jazakallah khair. Oh, barakallah khair. Oh, thank you very much. Very kind of you. You didn't write the card? Okay. All right. That's a very awkward disclaimer, but okay. Jazakallah khair. Thank you. Inshallah. Okay. Barakallah khair. Jazakallah khair. All right. So let's do ayah 24 of Surah Al-Fajr. Let's start with that. If you have the, yeah.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يقول يا ليتني قدمت لحياتي.
At the end, when it's all over, this is the word that comes out of the mouth of the human being. يقول يا ليتني قدمت لحياتي. It's a very peculiar phrase. You can only understand it if you're able to comprehend what's happening or what this person is facing. What happens Yawm al-Qiyamah is that you realize how short this existence was and how vast the one that's coming is. You realize how short this life was, how almost insignificant it was in comparison to what's coming ahead, the time that's ahead of you. So when you see that, and you see that that was life and this is life, you start to see that the life that's ahead of you is actually the life you should have been focused on. Is the life that you should have been trying to make sure you're going to get out of it what you wanted. Because you stop seeing the life that we're living right now. So we talk about death, right? Death is just the beginning of the actual life. Death is just a transition point from which you're going to go from this life to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes as al-hayawan, meaning actual life, like the epitome or the pinnacle of life. Okay? True living is going to happen after. Right now we're in it's a beautiful life, it's a beautiful existence, but it has a lot of pain and sorrow and agony and suffering and failure, and there's limitations to everything within it. True life comes later with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. So the person who finally realizes that, a person who did not realize that in dunya and comes and realizes it Yawm al-Qiyamah, the first thing that comes out of their mouth is, Ya laytani, I wish qaddamtu li hayati. I put something forward towards my actual life. Qaddamt is when you offer something. You put something, you put forward an offering of some sort. قدمة, you offer something. قدمت لحياتي, I wish I made offerings for this life. Yeah, I wish I'd sent something from that first one over to this one so I had something to, I found something here, but he didn't. They didn't find anything. because the whole focus was just building in dunya, was wanting to have the perfect life here. And the investment was all now, and the investment was for this time. This time is short, ya akhi. It's very short. Like, it's not worth it. Like, by the time you have enough status and wealth and to enjoy it, you're old and all your bones hurt. Yeah, all of your joints don't function well anymore. Then you have a higher risk of getting all these diseases and all these different sicknesses. Your health is not what it once was. Like, the way it's designed is not actually for you to focus on it. Like, even if you didn't know about Akhirah, you would still feel this. It's not designed for us to focus. Because when you're young and healthy and full of life, you're broke. You have no money. No one really respects your opinion. Like, no one's listening to you because you're naive still. So you work and you learn and you build yourself up. And by the time you have wisdom and knowledge and status and connections and networking, you're old. And you don't have the energy to do stuff anymore. So it's just not designed for you to sit back and recline on it. Like, dunya outside of understanding anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explained, which is not what I'm trying to tell you to do, obviously. But even if you didn't, and you just analyze life from afar, you say, this is not designed for reclining. This is not designed for you to just say, this is it. And it's just not designed that way. كمثل غيث أعجب الكفار نباته ثم يهيج فتراه مصفرا ثم يكون حطاما. It's all this, you know this, how many times is this ayah in the Quran? Yeah. Time and time again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about. مثل الحياة الدنيا كما إن أنزلناه من السماء فاختلط به نبات الأرض فأصبح هشيما. Time and time again, all life is, it's just water from the sky. Something comes out, it's green for a while, then it turns yellow, and then it dies, and then it's gone. Then it's gone. Never to be found again. It's lost forever. That's all it is. That's what we are. We come out, we're green for a bit, and then we slowly shrivel down, and then we're not here. Life is then. يقول يا ليتني قدمت لحياتي. I wish I put something forward to this life. فيومئذ لا يعذب عذابه أحد ولا يوثق وثاقه أحد. On that day, no one punishes like Allah does, and no one will shackle you like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the freedom of punishment on the day of judgment and the ability to work towards our real life. Allahumma ameen. All right, let's do 6 of Surah Al-Shams. Sharh. 6 of Sharh.
Inna ma'al usri yusra.
Yeah. Surah Al-Sharh tells you, don't worry. That's its theme. Don't worry. Don't worry to the point where you're dysfunctional. There's a healthy amount of worry, which is fine. Everyone's going to have a little bit. That you're thinking about your future. But there's a pathological, unhealthy amount of worry where it cripples you and you can't function anymore, and you're not living well, and you're not healthy, and you're not happy, and you can't do anything. And this is what Surah Al-Sharh comes and tells the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, stop worrying. Just don't worry. Alam nashrah laka sadrak. See, alam, did we not? No one starts a conversation like that. This is mid-conversation type of wording. This wording is mid-conversation. Something else was going on. The Prophet ﷺ either was saying something or thinking something. And what was going on is that he was constantly worried about whether this was going to work out, whether he deserved to be the Prophet, whether he was doing a good job. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told, "Alam nashrah laka sadrak," did we not put your heart at ease towards this message? Wa rada'na anka wizrak, did we also not forgive your sin? Alladhi anqadha dhahrak, the sin that you carried upon your shoulders that you felt was weighing you down. ورفعنا لك ذكرك, and we elevated your status, صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, so that you never say أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله except you say أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. That's the status that has been elevated for the maqam of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. فإنما على العسر يسرا, that was for him. So indeed, with all ease, difficulty, there will be enough ease for you to get through it. That's for him, عليه. فإن, that fa connects it to what's before. That's for him, عليه الصلاة والسلام. And then إنما على العسر يسرا, that's for you. That is the law. That is the rule that will exist. Indeed, with every difficulty, there will be ease. Not after. Not inna ba'da al-usri yusra. No. That's not a law. Sometimes you'll run into a usr, and that'll be the end. That's how your life will end. It'll end with that, right? If you want to understand the yusr being good hisab yawm al-qiyamah, fine. But in dunya, sometimes a usr stays. It sticks around until the end. But with it, there will always be enough ease for you to get through it. There'll always be enough ease within it to allow you to function, allow you to persevere, allow you to strive. You have to look for that ease within your difficulty and you'll find it. If you're looking for it, if you know that with this difficulty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put for me ease, and you find that ease, you'll get through it. You'll get through the most difficult days of your life. The darkest moments, you'll get through them. They won't stop being dark. That's not what this surah is saying. something difficult will not turn into ease. No, no, no. It will continue to be difficult. The usr will stay usr. But you'll find enough yusr in it to get through. And that's the trust you have in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what He is promising you. This is the law. And He's telling you, don't worry about stuff in the... Because people can do that. You can do that. You can sit around and think, well, what if this happens to me later? What if there's horrible scenarios that can come to mind? Huh? Especially when you start having children. You have children, you start thinking there's so many bad scenarios that can go on for myself or for them. Start worrying. Worrying about things you have no control over. Worrying about things you can't change. You can't impact. Now you can't affect. So what do I do? What do I do? There's so many things that can go wrong. So many things go wrong for me and for my loved ones. What do I do? It's so difficult. Inna ma'al usri yusra. Whatever difficulty is dished out for you, you'll find enough ease in it to get through. Stop worrying. Wallahi, it puts your heart at... Wallahi, this gives you enough... It puts the heart in a state of calmness that is... There's nothing like it. Wallahi, this ayah is designed to give you that calmness, that serenity. You can just relax. Plus, don't worry about something you can't change. You can't affect, you can't do anything. Just leave it. If it comes your way, if that usr comes your way, you'll find enough yourself to get through it. Don't worry. Focus on this task at hand. فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ وَإِلَى رَبِّكَ فَرْغَبْ. Do your thing. What's your thing? What's your job? And then once you're finished your da'wah, فَانْصَبْ, try again. Keep on going. وَإِلَى رَبِّكَ فَرْغَبْ, and draw yourself closer to Allah. That's what you can do. That's what you can control. Do that. That's what you can control. Do that. Forget about everything else. I hope that's helpful. It's a beautiful teaching. Let's do ayat 8 of Qari'ah. Anyone?
فَأُمُّهُ هَاوِيَةٌ.
That 6? Oh, 6, sorry. Do 6, not 8. The one before it, just so I can explain it.
فَأَمَّا مَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ.
Surah Al-Qari'ah. Al-Qari'ah is to hit something so hard that you change its substance. You change its makeup. It's not the same thing anymore. That's what Qari'ah means. Tariq is you knock, you shake it, it makes sound. Qari'ah is when you hit it and it's no longer the same thing after you hit it. Like it changes in nature. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls Yawm Al-Qiyamah. Al-Qari'ah is the event that comes and it changes everything. Nothing is the same. Nothing. The laws are different. The universe doesn't function the same way. The laws that govern humanity is no longer the same anymore. In dunya, status and it was wealth, it was connections, it was networking skills, the people you knew, how much power you had. That's how the certificates and the PhDs that you had on the wall. That's kind of what you all that put together is what made you or gave you who you were. That's who you ended up being. All the letters before your name and after it, and how big your signature was, and all that. Yawm al-Qiyamah is Qari'ah. It comes and it breaks everything. Everything is very, very hard. This hurts the human soul. The human being is not ready for this. We'll struggle Yawm al-Qiyamah because it's just, you lose everything really quickly. Like really quickly, everything. You lose absolutely everything. Possessions are all gone. The universe doesn't function the same way. You don't have the sky and the cosmos aren't there and the sun looks different and the moon is gone. Your house doesn't exist. It's not burnt down. It's not there anymore. It's gone, because everything is gone, right? And who you were, Dr. Fulan, Ustad Fulan, Muhandis Fulan, Basha Fulan, Khawaja Fulan, Ma'allim Fulan, all this Ummu Fulan, Abu Fulan, no one cares anymore. This all ceases to be happening. People who cared about you, people who said some nice things about you, thought highly of you, doesn't matter, Yawm al-Qiyamah. Doesn't matter. All of the accomplishments and the achievements, all of this stuff, it's all worthless. All that's left that has any degree of importance, فَأَمَّا مَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ, is how heavy are those scales? That's it. That's the only thing that matters. How heavy are those scales? Heavy? Good job. You're going to be فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةِ الرَّاضِيَة. That person will be in a satisfied living condition. They weren't heavy. فَأَمَّا مَنْ خَفَّتْ, they were light. Well, nothing will make up for that. There's absolutely nothing that will make up for that. So you can't take the money in your bank and throw it into the scales, Yawm al-Qiyamah, to weigh them down. You can't throw your certificates and your degrees there. You can't throw the status and the power and how much people liked you. So what? Let's say every person here thinks I'm a good person. Does that make me a good person to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Huh? Let's say every person here gave the testimony, you're a good person. How does that change? It has nothing to do. If Allah, I know myself, And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows me. It doesn't matter what people testify for. It doesn't matter what people think of you or say about you. It's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about you. It's what you know about yourself that's going to matter yawm al-qiyamah. Nothing else matters. The Prophet alayhi salallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us about a man, rajulun badirun, kabir al-qawam, big man, big guy, door of a man, standing yawm al-qiyamah. And he's watching his scales, and yaqi, the scales are very light. The scales would not, there's nothing, okay, they're putting stuff in the scales and it's not weighing. It's not weighing down, and the other scale is heavier, and it's not, and he panics. Qala fayarmi nafsahu. So the guy jumps right into the scale himself. He's a big guy, hoping he can weigh it down. قَالَ فَلَا يَجِنُ فَلَا يَزِنُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ شَيْئًا. And he has no weight. He has no weight عند الله. فَلَا نُقِيمُ لَهُمْ, right? يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَزْنًا. They have no weight, يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Not just physical weight, but figurative weight. Because the word weight, we use it even figuratively. Someone, fulan has weight. Not that they're fat like me, but no, they have weight. They have status. People care. People listen. Yani he can, they say something, it'll make a difference. Yawm al-qiyamah, they have no wazn. They have no wazn. Except man thaqulat mawazinuhu. That's all that matters. Everything else is forgotten. I'm not telling you not to, you know, accrue wealth and study and have. No. I'm just saying that if that's what you think is going to make a difference for you, yawm al-qiyamah. No, if you're doing this stuff, if you're accruing wealth and you're studying, yani, and you're building networks and you're becoming powerful, and that is not being used to make your scales heavy, yawm al-qiyamah, they're a waste of breath. They're a waste of time. If you're not using all of that to make sure that your skills, yawm al-qiyamah, are heavier, then you're wasting your time. So make sure that whatever it is that you do in this world, achieve, ya akhi, become very successful, but make sure that success is going to reflect on the weight of that scale. Make sure it's going to reflect on how deep that scale plummets and sinks on the Day of Judgment. Because if it doesn't, then what was the point of it? There'll be nothing left. I need to... All right, let's do 7 of Al-Ma'un. 7 of Al-Ma'un. Can you go ahead? Go ahead.
وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَعُونَ.
Allah yirda alayk. Good job. MashaAllah alayk. Ahsant. So at the end of this surah, the surah is called Al-Ma'un, and the word Ma'un is right at the end of it. I always tell people when you want to read it, take the last verse out, right? And read it without the last verse, and then put the last verse in, and then see what I mean. It's called Ma'un for a reason, but take out the last verse. Let's read it without the last verse. رَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ. And you see the one who refuses the faith, even though they think it's correct, they know it's correct, but they're refusing it. Those who refuse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's teachings, even though they know it's correct. فَذَلِكَ الَّذِي يَدُعُ الْيَتِيمَ وَلَا يَحُضُّ عَلَى طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينَ. That is the one who mistreats the orphan and does not encourage the feeding of the needy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that this is the prototype that he doesn't want. He doesn't want someone who refuses to connect with him and someone who mistreats human beings. Yeah? But then we have a problem. It says, فَوَيْلُ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ. And when you hear the word, you're like, well, check that again. Musallin are never talked about that way. But here they are. In the rest of the Quran, إِلَّا الْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَى صَلَاتِهِمْ دَائِمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌّ مَعْلُومٌ. It's always something, المقيمي الصلاة is a beautiful thing. فَفَوَيْلُ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ. Those who pray, may they be warned of a severe punishment. Why? الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاءُونَ. Those who ignore the timing of it, I mean, they don't do it well. They don't make sure that they're doing it appropriately. الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاءُونَ, I mean, physically, time-wise, they're not doing well. يُرَاءُونَ, spiritually, they don't do it well either. Like, they're not sincere. If you end right there, this makes life so much easier. Right? فَوَيْلُ الْمُصَلِّينَ, the ones who don't do their salah well. So we perfect it. You perfect your salah. You get it done well. You don't have sahu upon its time, meaning you make sure you do it on time. And physically you have all the fiqh piece, bolted down, you do it well. And you remove the ostentatious piece of it. And you make sure that you're sincere and you're doing spirituality. But that's not when this surah ends. The surah ends, وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَعُونَ. And those who withhold aid. الْعَوْن is support. مَعُونَ is aid. Is the help. وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَعُونَ. And those who withhold aid. Never ever has Islam talked about piety or mindfulness of God or closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a unidimensional manner. Ever. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has never said that all it takes is for you to have the proper theology and the proper rituals. Ever. no matter where you look in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always point out that if you do not have acts of worship that are beneficial to the people around you, then you will not make it to your final destination safely. All throughout the Quran, this theme has no exception to it. There's no exception in the Quran anywhere. And you would think maybe if this ended, الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاؤُونَ, it makes it easier because we just fix our prayer. But he's saying, وَيْرُ الْمُصَلِّينَ, warn those who pray from punishment, the ones who يَمْنَعُونَ الْمَاعُونَ, the ones who withhold aid. You're praying, you withhold aid. It's not going to work. You could help and you didn't. You could help and you didn't. Is that what you're saying? Is that what يَمْنَعُونَ الْمَاعُونَ means?
Withholding aid, is that past the zakat?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Oh, it's withholding aid is way past zakat. Sadaqah is sunnah. Now, those who attend my, the usul fiqh, I explain to them, the same ruling can have four or five different rulings. Really. Sadaqah is haram if you're in debt and someone's waiting to be paid and you go give sadaqah. No, you have to pay the person who is haram. So sadaqah can be haram. If you're in debt and the person who you're in debt to is waiting to receive their loan and you go and take some of that wealth and you give sadaqah, it's not yours to give, it's haram. And sadaqah can also be wajib if someone's starving beside you. You give your zakah and there's someone left starving, you are obligated to give them. It's an obligation, it's a communal obligation. It's not sunnah anymore. Sunnah is the default one. Sunnah is the default ruling. Everything has a default ruling. But then the ruling changes as the context around it changes. That goes for everything. That goes for almost everything that's not a specifically a ritual. That goes for everything that's not yani salatul fardi, wal siyam, wal hajj and whatnot. Everything that's not that, its ruling will change based on context. يَمْنَعُونَ الْمَعُونَ, aid. Aid as in people are in need of it. That's the word ma'un means. Al-ma'un means someone is asking for help. You don't use the word ma'un unless someone's asking. Meaning someone is as saying, I need help. I am in dire need. So what you give them is called ma'un then. It's not aun anymore because they're asking for it. Yamna'un al-ma'un, they withhold aid. They withhold aid. They could help, but they didn't. They could help, but they didn't. You understand how hard this ayah makes it all? This is what is called ma'un. You would think it's about salah, but it's not. It's not. Yeah, you can pray, but if you withhold aid, you can perfect your prayer. Good, you should. Because Allah does not like الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ or الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاؤُونَ. But if you don't, قَالُوا مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ وَلَمْ نَكُمْ نُطْعِمُ الْمِسْكِينَ. We didn't pray, and we didn't feed the needy. We didn't feed the needy. The second answer. This is someone in Jahannam who is realizing why they're being punished. Right now, I'm speculating for you, but this person is answering from this answer, the words you just heard, came from the depth of Jahannam. وَلِيَّذُ بِاللَّهِ. The words you just heard came from someone in the depth of Nar. They're in Saqar, they're in a deep part, a deep pit within Jahannam. And these words are coming from his mouth as he calls back, لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ. We didn't pray. We just ended there. وَلَمْ نَكُمْ نُطْعِمُ الْمِسْكِينَ. And we did not feed the hungry. Did not feed the needy. وَكُنَّا نَخُوضُ مَعَ الْخَائِضِينَ وَكُنَّا نُكَذِّبُ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ حَتَّى أَتَانَا الْيَقِينَ. This is the someone speaking from Jahannam. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى السلامة. All right, let's do الفلق. Recite the first two verses, please.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق.
Very good, thank you. جزاك الله خير. حسنت. At the end of the Quran, you have these two gems of surahs, al-Falaq and Nas. One is horizontal, the other one's vertical. Surah al-Falaq is a vertical surah. It talks about protecting yourself from harm that comes from without, and Surah al-Nas talks about protecting yourself from harm that comes from within. Surah al-Falaq starts from the most general aspect of harm. قُلْ say, أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. I seek refuge in the Lord of creation. الْفَلَقِ is creation. Everything that, in فَلَقَ, something that was where you understand that, alhamdulillah, فَاطِرِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, something that was not and suddenly it exploded into existence. الْفَلَقِ, that is creation. So say, I seek refuge in the Lord of creation. مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقِ. From the evil of all that he created. The most general term. وَمِنْ شَرِّ غَاسِقٍ إِذَا وَقَبْ. And from the evil of darkness when it covers the light, when darkness starts to cover. When darkness and oppression and ظلم, and when that darkness starts to cover whatever is left of truth, when that starts to happen. وَمِنْ شَرِّ النَّفَّاثَاتِ فِي الْعُقَدْ. And from the harm that comes from people who put obstacles in your way. Nafth fil uqad is not necessarily a phrase regarding sihr. Nafth fil uqad is a way, is putting obstacles in your way. Al-uqda is an obstacle. Someone who puts difficulties in your way, tries to get you to fall, tries to get you to fail. Those who don't want you to do well. وَمِن شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدٍ, and from a spot of envy in the heart of another human being. You seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evil of everything, and the evil of darkness as it covers the light, and the evil of those who make your life a little bit more difficult, and for the evil of a spot of envy in the heart of another person. All those evils exist around you. They're external. So you seek refuge in Allah. That's how the Quran ends. The Quran ends in us seeking refuge in Him subhanahu wa ta'ala from these evils that come from without. But then Surah An-Nas does it differently. Surah An-Nas speaks of God three times, not once. Surah Al-Falaq, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقْ, that's it. It only praises God once. رَبِّ الْفَلَقْ. And then all of these evils, they start from the biggest, they go. Surah An-Nas, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, مَلِكِ النَّاسِ, إِلَهِ النَّاسِ. It praises God a little bit more, because what you're going to seek refuge from is much more difficult. The first, Surah Al-Falaq, these evils are easy. Allah subhanahu will brush them away easily for you, no problem. Even مِن شَرِّ مَا خَلَقْ and شَرِّ غَاسِقْ, oh, that is fine. You need to praise Him once, subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they're all easy. But the second one is much more difficult. You have to praise Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, three times. You have to talk about Allah regarding all of the relationships that you have with Him. As He is the King, He is the owner. As He is the Rabb, He is the one who takes care of you and looks over you. And as the Ilah, as the one who is worthy of your worship. All three relationships in one surah. رَبِّ النَّاسِ, مَلِكِ النَّاسِ, إِلَهِ النَّاسِ. From what? مِن شَرِّ الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ مِنَ الْجِنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ. From that voice that comes from al-waswas al-khannas, the one that doesn't show himself. He just gives you small ideas, small little thoughts here and there. Puts it in your heart, in your chest. You're stuck with it now. Min al-jinnati, from jinn, wa-nas, and from people. You see, the biggest harm is not the harm that comes to you from the world. It's the harm that can come from you towards the world. That is the real harm. Shaytan doesn't really harm you. He just gives you some bad ideas. Then if you accept those ideas, if you take these thoughts and now you're going to act upon them, that's where evil happens. So you had to seek refuge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in three separate ways. رَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إِلَهِ النَّاسِ. I seek refuge in you, in becoming the source of harm when I allow the waswas al-khannas, the one that yaswaswasa fi sudur al-nas, min al-jinnati wal-nas, whether it's shaitan or it's a person around me who are giving me these ideas, who's pushing me, who's encouraging me to do something wrong, and then end up doing it. You see, waswasa doesn't harm you. Does it harm you? It doesn't harm you. It's waswasa. It's just a thought. It doesn't do anything. You come to me, you tell me to do something bad. It doesn't harm me. It's just a thought. You just shared something that wasn't very positive with me. The harm will come when I listen to you. The harm comes when I incorporate that into my actions. That's the harm. So these are the last two surahs of the Quran. That's how the Quran ends. Seek refuge in Allah from the harm that can come to you from others. It's a vertical surah, from the biggest harm to the smallest harm. You need to praise Allah once and He'll brush it all away for you, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then praise Allah three times and ask Him refuge from the harm that will come from you when you succumb to the pressure and the waswasa of those around you, whether they are jinn, whether they are nas. And that is how this Quran ends. You want to be able to practice the totality of this book? You want to actually take the guidance and walk with it? Seek refuge in Him. It's dua. These two surahs, they're dua. They're just in a supplication. You're saying, أعوذ بك. We do that in اللهم أعوذ بك من الهم والحزن والجبن والبخل والكفر والفقر وغلبة الدين وقهر الرجال. We make this dua for the اللهم أعوذ بك. We seek refuge. He tells you before you do all that, seek refuge in me for these two things. From external harm and from internal harm. And that concludes, inshallah, these pre-Isha lessons. I hope you found them beneficial. Similar to what I did last year, we'll try and get feedback from all of you and see if this is something that I should continue to do in the coming years versus do a series that's a little bit different. I'm open to suggestions, inshallah ta'ala, to make this experience for you something that is beneficial and that you find meaningful. At the end of Ramadan, I'll make some announcements, inshallah, after Salat al-Isha, and I'll talk about witr. But there are two things I want to point out for you, inshallah ta'ala. First of all, the value is not the number of people that are praying in a masjid. There is no real value in that. It's not what actually changes the world. What changes the world are the intentions of the people in the masjid in terms of what they're going to do outside of it. When we talked about musallin, there was a part of salah they had to fix. You came, you fixed that. And now there's the yamna'un al-ma'un part that you have to go and fix. And without these two, the equation will not be complete and the balance will not be achieved. So remind yourself of this, that when you come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He opens His doors to you and He fills your heart with a certain degree of His reverence and His love subhanahu wa ta'ala. You find a truth that you did not have before. So now you have clarity. Then make sure that what you have now, this new discovered clarity that you didn't have before, make sure that's going to translate into something meaningful and practical within your life. Make sure that's going to change the way you live on a daily basis, what you do with your life, where you go with it. Because if it doesn't, I'm sorry to say that there was no real benefit from that. Like, inshallah, you get ajr, inshallah. But ajr, without a long-term plan of a life-changing way of going by things, is not going to be that meaningful. And that's something that I want you all to take some time and reflect upon, because that's why we do all of this. The point that we run the Ramadan the way that we run it, and we try to fill it with durus, and we make sure that to give you the space so you can contemplate these things. So then after Ramadan, our ummah finds its way back to where it once was. I know it seems very far back, but it's not that far ago. 100 years ago, things were significantly better than they are today. I don't think there was as much awareness amongst the ummah as there is today, which makes me optimistic. But it was better in a general sense. A second piece, and I'll just say this in passively before we go for salah. Consider tonight before you leave to help us with keeping this place running. A small monthly donation helps us just cover our operational costs. They're very low. Most people here, myself, and everyone else who you see working, they do this for free. They don't take anything at all. There's no money that goes into anyone's pocket. The operational costs are actually not very high in this place, but they do exist, and they do require a little bit of communal support. So consider that as something to do for us before the end of Ramadan, to allow us to plan, because usually post-Ramadan, we come up with the years, the year-round planning of the different durus, series, lectures, programs that you want to run, especially with the new facility outside with the tent. There's a lot that we're hoping to do, inshallah ta'ala. We can only spread our wings as far as people allow us to spread our wings. We can only plan out for as much as we have the ability to plan out in terms of resources. So something that I would ask everyone to consider doing, inshallah ta'ala, before the end of this blessed and holy month. I'll make a few announcements, inshallah, regarding zakah and whatnot after salat al-isha, inshallah ta'ala. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين جزاكم الله خير وبارك الله فيكم
الله اكبر الله اكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا